You're listening to the Lone Star Gridiron Sports Network.
This is Denaz Dunn, athlete South Oak Cliff. You're listening to the Top Texas Prospect Show on the LSG Network, the authority of high school football.
Season 1, Episode 32.
Hey, did you know that Lone Star Gridiron does mini helmets? Yeah, custom-designed mini helmets that match your school. When quality and attention to detail are important, choose authentic Lone Star Gridiron mini helmets. Our library currently has hundreds of different Texas high school football teams. If you don't see your helmet, reach out to us about creating one. And hey, they make the coolest fundraisers for your booster clubs. Go to LoneStarGridiron.com and look for mini helmets on the top menu bar.
How's everyone doing? This is the Top Tech Prospect Show. And of course, we have my right-hand man, my co-host, and I'm his co-host, Mark Henry.
We have star wide receiver, quarterback, Denaz Dunn. With the South Oak Cliff Bears, Denaz, how's it going?
It's going good. Just getting out of a long practice, but it's going good.
Let's talk about practice a little bit, Denaz, because the tables have turned just a little bit. One of your teammates, also a senior year quarterback, went down with an injury. And we were talking with Coach Todd on how you stepped in and took a leadership role and decided to move back to quarterback, to a position that you played in middle school. And talk about that transition that you made so far.
Well, the transition, it was really like second nature, you know. The moment he went down, I looked Coach Todd in his face and I told him, I think I'm going to have to go back to quarterback because we got some young quarterbacks and they could get in the fire, but I mean, it's my senior season, so I just felt like that was something that I should do, go back to quarterback. So getting back in the rhythm of playing quarterback was pretty easy, you know. Getting, like, my progressions and learning stuff that I already know, but just, you know, taking it more serious now as a senior.
All right, and how the team has responded. You guys last week beat Siegelfield. You were the offensive player of the week. And then you're going into a game against Kimball, one of your rivals in the BISD area. Talk about practice this week and how the team has responded going in leading to Thursday's matchup.
We've been preparing pretty well. We know we can't take no one light. So every week we just got to prepare for our opponent like it's a championship game. Can't take no one light. But the team, we just been bonding and like feeding off each other a lot more, like everybody just coming together more now. Everybody just doing their job and getting through what we got to get through.
Let's talk about your senior year so far. Last year the last 2 years, but especially last year, you burst on the scene as one of the top wide receivers in the DFW area. You also had a great 7-on-7 season playing with True Buzz. And so your recruiting's picked up a little bit. Talk about some of the interest that you received on the recruiting trail so far.
I have one offer right now, Illinois State. But I know SMU, they be showing me love. North Texas showed me love. Lafayette showed me love. It was a pretty good season last year. I showed who I was in the playoffs. People found out who I was in the playoffs.
Well, what do you look forward to most heading into the playoffs here this year? Because last year you guys were undefeated until you got knocked off by Aledo. What are some of the things that you look forward to, especially with you being a senior, going heading into the playoffs?
I just want to see how we're going to face adversity this year. When stuff not going our way, how are we going to respond to it? You know, just making sure we're doing the little stuff right. Like Coach Todd preached to us all the time, make sure we're doing the little stuff right. Going to see if we learn from last year from our mistakes. We're going to see if we can make sure we get those mistakes to a minimum and do the little stuff right. Like Coach Todd always harp on.
All right, I'll turn it over to Matt. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
How you doing?
Pretty good, brother. So let's talk about your grades. What are your grades looking like right now?
I have a 3.0 right now. And for my GPA, it's my GPA 3.0.
That's good. And talk about, yeah, have you taken the PSAT? Have you taken that? Yeah, have you been able to get a score on that?
Yeah, I took my SAT. I got a 1080.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then talk about what you know, besides playing sports, talk about your favorite classes to go to.
I'm a science guy. I like science. Yeah, I like science.
When you go to college, are you gonna try to, you know, do some stuff maybe with biology or something?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, but I don't really know right now. That's what a lot of people tell me. They said when you go, you're going to really find out what you want to do. But right now, that's what I'm looking at, something with science.
Do you play any other sports, or you just play football and then you focus on football during the off season?
Oh, I run track. I run the 110 hurdles. I run 300 hurdles, and I run the 4x4 relay.
Is that something that you enjoy doing?
Oh, yes, sir. We went to the regional meet last year. We got third place overall. We were second away from going to state, so I got to pay back from that this year, too, my senior season in track also.
Do you think when you go to college that you would be able to find a college that would let you run track and play football?
Yes, sir. That's what I want to do, someone that will let me run track and play football, but if it come down to it, then I'll just go straight football.
Is there a certain type of thing that you want people to know about you besides the fact that you're good in the classroom and you're good at football? Like, what type of hobbies do you have?
I'm a fun person. I'm not boring, so. And I'm a people person. So, I mean, I adapt to people pretty well, you know. I'm not a stuck-up kid or nothing. I'm pretty loving and all around, so.
Do you think that helps you play quarterback? You're able to relate to other people and you're able to be a leader?
Yes, playing quarterback this second, I mean, my first nature, you know. I've been playing quarterback since I was a kid. When I got to high school, I went to receiver because I was just an athlete and I feel like I was wanting to play receiver, see how it was. But, I mean, quarterback is pretty cool. You just got to make sure you lead because they're going to follow the quarterback.
Will you go on to college? Do you think you'll be able to fit in at any type of college with any type of crowd or whatever?
Yeah. Like I said, I'm a people's person. I adapt to people well. I feel like I can adapt to anything.
What's your opinion on Baylor and SMU having successful seasons so far?
Like I said, SMU, they showing me love. It's cool with SMU because they're in the city, you know. It's Dallas. That's home, really, so. I really like SMU winning. That's pretty cool. You know, they putting on for the city. And Baylor, I like Baylor too, though.
You know some people that play at Baylor?
Nah, not really. I know of, I think Josh Fleek. He went to Cedar Hill.
Yeah.
But I know some, I know some people at SMU, Prochet. I know Demer Gary. He went to Kimball. When I was in middle school, he was going to Kimball. So, yeah.
Yeah, I know Buddy Johnson, he plays over at A&M.
Yeah, A&M. Yeah.
You know, it's a small world. Yeah. And then, you know, there's so much talent out here in our area, you know, from where your school is. Then you got Lancaster and you got DeSoto, Jacksonville, Cedar Hill. Yeah, it's just so much talent over there. And then you guys are probably the best team in DISD. I'm hoping, you know, one day DISD will be what they used to be and they'll be able to have more talent. But a lot of kids, you know, a lot of kids like to go move to the suburbs.
Yeah, that's where it hits us. But
it's crazy, right?
Yeah, but I know when the new school is getting finished right now, so when they see the new school, they'll be back. We're going to bring everybody back.
So you think by having a new school that makes people feel more special about the school and going to school every day?
Yeah, that's going to be big for the community. That's what I think.
I mean, like you look at
attention grabber, you know?
Yeah, you look how big Duncanville High School is, and you look how big Allen's is, and you just look at those schools. I mean, even Skyline looks pretty nice. I mean, you just look at those schools, and the bigger the school, the more you want to go there because it looks cool and it's a place you can be proud to go. I'm going to give you this chance to give a shout out to anybody that you would like to or talk about, you know, your Twitter and your social medias where people can follow you at.
Yeah, my Instagram is 2020Naz_NAZ_, and shout out to True Buzz.
Shout out to True Buzz.
Yeah, man. And shout out to the whole Sock Nation, and everybody that supports
All right. Again, you have quarterback, wide receiver, athlete, Janaz Dunn from South Oak Cliff High School. This is Mark Henry for Matt Davidson, Dan Keck, and L.O. Mayer. This is Top Texas Prospect Show. We're on the LSG Network, the Lone Star Gridiron Network. You can find us also on Twitter at TXTP Show. Our website is TXTPShow.com.
We are blessed to have our special guest, Coach Todd, from South Oak Cliff. Coach, how are you doing?
Oh, well, going to be. Thanks for having me on today.
No problem. And, of course, we have Mark Henry. Mark.
Man, what's going on? Appreciate you joining us. Coach Todd of the South Oak Cliff Golden Bears. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Trying to get out this hands and great.
I understand that. Well, Coach, let's get right into it. I want to backtrack a little bit to your undefeated season up until you got to the Alito game. And you guys had all the momentum going in. How does that translate? What did you tell the kids, first of all, coming off a tough loss like that? Because you guys had one of the best defenses in the state of Texas at that time last year. And how does that help transfer to this year, which you guys are sitting at 6-2?
I think it showed them guys that, you know, we don't want to stay last year. And it showed them guys that we're able to play with anybody that sets pitches and not did the first thing. The next thing was that Alito was able to execute and didn't commit turnovers, things that was self-inflicted on, which we felt we did. And, you know, the outset of this season is all about, you know, just let's not kill ourselves. You know, let's let a team beat us, but don't beat ourselves.
Well, definitely, Coach, I agree with that. And, you know, we don't want to make excuses, but I believe the weather delays played a little bit into it. So, I mean, I expect you guys to make a deep run. I think you're one of the favorites coming out of the Dallas area, you know, in 5A heading into it. Now, let's talk about a couple of the games that you came up short in. Now, Duncanville is one of the top teams in the nation. And then you got a tough loss to Red Oak. You opened your district play. How's that help the team to shape it going forward?
You know, the first thing about us is that, you know, we take the hard district games, and, you know, we're not afraid to play people, you know, in higher classifications like that. And for me being a former player and working under Coach Thompson as a coach also, you know, we were able to agree to the game. You know, I knew it was going to be a tough game. The whole school knew it was going to be a tough game. But at the end of the day, you want to play against those teams because they are able to expose things in you that you can fix during the rest of the season to be ready for the playoffs. So, you know, we went out there, you know, the last 2 years, first time in Grandelay, they were 7-0. This past year, you know, they put it on us pretty good. We just got out coached and out played. But it helped us tighten up the band going forward. As far as the Red Oak loss, you know, it pretty much came down to 7-6-1, pretty much like the Alito game. You know, we had 4 turnovers that were crucial. You know, our defense played lights out pretty much for most of the game. I believe they gave them like one big run, dodged the punt. It was things like that to help Red Oak get that game. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it is what it is, and, you know, we're moving on from it. But at the end of the day, you know, winning this title was not our number one thing coming into the season.
Well, that's right. And, I mean, you guys are off to a 6-2 start. I think, like I said before, definitely one of the top teams in your district, definitely one of the top teams in DISD, which I think, you know, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, DISD teams don't get enough love. And, you know, we've been watching you guys from afar here for the last 2 years. We know that SOC brings it. Now, let's talk about one of your young stars. He started off kind of slow, but he was one of your stars last year. But now he's shifted with the injury to Rod Hudson. Danaj Dunn, he was receiver last year, but now he's playing quarterback for you, and he's been shining the last 2.5-3 games.
Yeah, Danaj Dunn, man, he was a kid that actually, coming out of middle school, he was a quarterback, and we transitioned to receiver, you know, because that would be his best position as far as going forward in college. You know, when Rod went down, he actually came to me, and like, Coach, you know, I know the whole offense, you know, Coach, just put it on my show, because, you know, I've been here 4 years, and he felt like it was his team. You know, so we as coaches met the next day and said we're going to run with Danaj Dunn, and, you know, we haven't looked back yet.
Well, I think that's a great story, and that shows the team leadership and the closeness of you guys' team. And Don, he's one of the top receivers, in my opinion, and definitely in DISD and one of the top 10 in a whole DFW area. And he's probably got a lot of attention from a lot of colleges. So kudos to him, and that was a great coaching decision by you guys.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
Now, I'm going to shift to the defensive side. One of your other standouts, Raekwon Pinkston, he's a hard hitter, a thumper. That's what they call it from the linebacker position, number 9.
Yeah. Because to me, you know, I've coached a lot of great linebackers, and he's right there, you know, in line with all of them now. You know, he's been a 4-year starter for us. You know, the kid came in at 8th grade. He played about 3 games. Then we moved him up to varsity. He's been a starter ever since. You know, one of the former running backs, so he's able to, you know, kind of see things from the offensive side, even when he's on defense. You know, very physical kid, you know, really underrated due to his height. When kid was 6'1", you know, he'd be one of the top linebackers in the country. You know, and like I tell him, you know, we can't control height, but we can't control how we play. And he's gone out there every day this year, especially with a chip on his shoulder and a point to prove.
Well, he's proven that point. I've been watching, man. He brings the hat. He's definitely a thumper. It don't matter what the size is. And I know colleges will be knocking on his door pretty soon. And this will be my last question for you, Coach Todd, and I'll pass it to Matt. Let's just talk about the Thursday game. This is probably a big rivalry, Dallas Kimball coming in. How's the team feeling so far, and how do you guys prepare for such a big game in the Dallas area like that?
First of all, the team, you know, they're very excited and ready for this game. You know, a lot of kids, you know, went to school with each other, you know, elementary and middle school, things like that. So, you know, it's kind of like a, you know, a friendly rivalry between the three schools and community, both being from the Oak Cliff area. You know, Kimball hasn't had a lot of success against us, you know, in the last years, but we still treat it as a big game, and we're going to go out, you know, in order to dominate, in order to be playoff ready. That's our mindset. You know, as far as, you know, Kimball, you know, they started out pretty good this year, then I think they had a couple losses the last 2 weeks. You know, at the end of the day, you know, it's Kimball versus Sock. You know, we're going to come out and put on a show. And, you know, that's our plan, is plan to dominate the game just like we have in the past.
Hey, Coach, how's it going? Matt.
Going pretty good.
Going good. All right. So I'll jump into it, Coach. I always like to ask about players, their grades. You know, I like to ask about the grades and, you know, what that looks like. Talk about some of your kids that you know that are good academically, that you know that can play on the field too, that you think are under the radar that need to get some attention from what they do on the field too.
Okay, number one, I would say, is Raekwon Thompson. You know, he's an excellent student. You know, a lot of qualified as far as test score, things like that. Has a great GPA. You know, he's just undersized. You know, a lot of people just kind of test score right now. Another kid is Cameron Davis, you know, starting running back, ran 300 yards last week. You know, he's you know, a feature, you know, great grades, you know, great home life, you know, we have a test score on, so I'll be a qualifier. Here's a 2021 kid. I'm trying to think of some more 2020 kids. We already talked about Cortland Flowers. He'll be a qualifier. He's committed to University of Louisiana Lafayette. We talked about Jonathan Davis. He's a kid that's in our Collegiate Academy program. That will graduate with his associate's degree when he graduates high school. He's committed to take right now, trying to think of some more under the radar seniors. Because most of our team, we have a small senior class, junior class is really the bigger class. You know, we got a lot of players in that class also.
You can talk about your juniors too if you want to.
Okay, yeah, junior class, you know, when we start out talking about grades, you know, the first thing you got to mention is our cornerback, Jimmy Wire. He goes to Townsend, which is the top magnet school in America. And, you know, he has like a 4.18 GPA. Never makes below an A. You know, has scholarship offers all around. Got a kid like John Jones. Got offers from LSU, Arkansas, you know, all the FAS school. He also has a 3.8 GPA. His twin brother is in the same category as those guys. You know, so we have a lot of kids. And people, kind of, a lot of times, get caught up in a misconception that being from this area, you know, we don't stress academic things like that. But, you know, but our principal, you know, in our home school is good around making sure these kids not only have the talent to play at their level, but also have grades.
Yes, Coach, and that's the main thing I go over with players when we bring players on the show is I like to stress the grades, the SAT, PSAT, you know, to make sure they get that done because, you know, they could be the best player in the world, but I've seen it happen so many times, so many good players with talent aren't able to make it to the next level or the school that they need to get into because, you know, their grades or some kind of test that they didn't pass.
Exactly. And those guys have seen guys in the past that, you know, around the different school. And so they kind of understand when we give them, you know, examples of guys who didn't handle the part in the classroom and how it affects them, you know, as far as going to schools. And those offers don't mean nothing without grades. And, you know, the good thing with these kids is that they had a first-hand view of Marquise King, one of the guys who was a star last year. You know, these guys, the senior class, they were here when he was a senior. So they were able to see him and things that he had to go through and also hear stories about the junior college level and things like that. So, you know, it was good for them to be able to relate to that and then based on the documentary, they were able to see it from a whole other perspective.
That's great stuff, Coach. You know, it's good that you care about your players the way you do, the way you're able to tell everybody about, you know, their grades in the classroom and how they're doing on the field. It's like you know everything about them, and that's what a coach and a father figure does. I like for the audience to know a little bit about you, Coach. Just talk about where you grew up at and what high school you went to and then what college you went to, and kind of talk about your coaching career a little bit.
Okay, first of all, I'm from the Dallas area. I attended Lincoln High School, played under D. Coach Samples there. From high school, I went on to play college football at Texas Southern University. Once I completed that, I came back and worked for Coach Samples for 14 years. We transitioned from Lincoln when in 2004 we lost the state championship. We all went over the skyline and, you know, turned that into a national power. Then I came over with Coach Jones, who was an offensive coordinator at Skyline. I followed him over here from Southern Cliff, like his third year over here. And then he left and took the job to pick the receiver job. And then I took over as head coach about the last 5 years. So I've been coaching for about 19 years. You know, we had a lot of success. You know, wasn't able to win that state championship yet. But, you know, we're still pushing and we're still working towards it. And, you know, I'm just a Dallas kid. I take pride in coaching DISD. And really, you know, my personal goal is just I want to be the guy who can win the state championship to Dallas ISD. And that's what I'm shooting for. And that's what the coaches are shooting for. That's what the players are shooting for. That's what the whole school is shooting for.
Coach, do you want to talk about Coach Reginald Samples and what he means to the community and what he means to a guy like you that got to play for him and now you're a coach and how he's a legend and he's trying to go get this state title in 6A this year?
Yeah, you know, Coach Samples, one thing I can say about him is that, you know, from playing under him, working under him, you know, and now, you know, running my own program, you know, you can see a lot of the things that he did. You may not understand him at that time when you're underneath him. But when you take over your own ship, you kind of understand some of the things, some of the tough decisions that have to be made. You know, he's been a, you know, a great role model, you know, to us as far as not even just as a coach, but just as a man, number one. You know, for a lot of us that played underneath him and coached underneath him. And, you know, I'm pulling for him every year, you know, and I want him to get that state championship. You know, if I'm able to win it, part of it, me winning it be because of him, because, you know, I kind of trademark myself about some of the things that he instilled in us, and it's still apparent in me. Well, people can be like, man, you act just like Coach Sam. So, you know, he kind of rubs off on you. And, you know, we got that kind of father-son relationship, you know, we didn't always see eye to eye on everything, but at the end of the day, we were all about making got the job done. And, you know, we talk from time to time, you know, and just, you know, he checks on me, see how we doing over here, if I need anything. And I kind of check on him, you know, just see how the program's going. And, you know, just see, make sure Duncan is in good hands, which I know it is. But, you know, Coach Sam was a great guy. And, you know, I got nothing but, you know, the best thing to say about him and his family.
Speaking of about his family, I mean, I'll just allude to this. You know, his son is such a great coach that he was at University of Texas as a wide receivers coach. And then he got the job up at SMU as the OC. And you see what SMU is doing. I mean, it's no mistake. They're undefeated.
And I was able to coach Sean. I didn't coach him as a position coach, but now I was a coach on the team. And, you know, you could tell he was going to be a coach. He was in it, you know, number one for being around so much football at a young age. And, you know, me and Sean talking all the time, you know, and, you know, we just joke and I always tell him that he's in a prime position, you know, to kind of, blaze a trail for young coaches that, you know, at the D1 level. And him and Coach Jones, who's the receiver coach of Kansas right now, close to friends, and, you know, we keep in touch all the time, and I tell those guys I'm real proud of them, and, you know, I wish the best for them, and, you know, college coach is not nothing that I ever chose to do because I want to stay at the high school level, but, you know, those guys are perfect for that position.
I'll tell you this, Coach Rashad Samples over with Coach Dyke. Coach Dyke is one of the coolest coaches that I've ever met, and I've gotten to talk with him, like, off camera and stuff, and he is so cool. He legitimately cares about people, and you can feel his realness. And same thing with Coach Emmett Jones. You can feel the realness with him, and he gets the coach with Les Miles, another cool coach. So,
yes,
you know,
exactly.
The Dallas area has so much talent with players and then coaches as well. I'll talk about this real quick. I think Rashad has a great chance to become a head coaching candidate in the NCAA before you know it, and dare I say NFL.
Yeah, you know. Rashad has it for him, whatever Rashad wants. to have. You know, it's just about him just making sure he just keeps learning, staying humble, and keep working hard like he's always had.
Talk about some of the schools that have came and visited you guys recently from the NCAA.
It's kind of been slow, you know, as far as this year at this time, but, you know, basically back in the spring, you know, you had to, you know, pretty much everybody in the Big 12, Texas to Oklahoma, to Texas Tech, you know, all those schools came, you know, they go to the SEC, it's been Georgia, then Alabama's came in. Pretty much it's probably about 90 schools that have visited us since the spring. You know, they always come check in, no matter if they have a top recruit, that school or not, because they know we're going to produce good football players, good students.
And talk about that, Coach. Talk about the pipeline that you're able to create by consistently having your kid academically, you know, fundamentally sound on that.
Yeah, but, you know, it chases back, you know, to Coach Campbell, you know, to being underneath him. You know, we always pride ourselves on not being able to have a great kid on the field, but also a great student in the classroom. And that's carried over with our principal over here. You know, we actually have, you would be amazed at how much paperwork we do on these kids every week. You know, from grade check, tutorial log. And we have to turn in on a weekly basis to the principal. And he verifies every piece of document to make sure that the kids are doing everything and that we're monitoring the kids to be successful. And I think that's been one of the big pieces. And that's just not us. That's the entire academic program. I mean, the athletic program that's also any auxiliary. Next curriculum activity, you know, he stays on us about making sure we monitor these kids and on every move they make. Make sure their parents are informed of anything that's going on with the kids. And that's showing them that their documentation on a weekly basis. This is school just started. This is something we can build it on. But we pride ourselves on that, the academic binder that we have. And it, you know, you can look up a kid's home background. We have transcript scores, weekly, grades, with tutorial logs, communication, logs with the parents. You know, we do all those type of things. A lot of people don't think we do. And it's a lot more than just X and O, especially over in this area.
Coach, I'm going to end with this question, and I'm going to turn it over to you and Mark to have roundtable talk on this. What is your opinion on the ruling that came out today about the NCAA making it to where players can get paid off their likeliness?
Okay, well, you know, my point of view is, first of all, is that if the game is like the likeness and they're modeling the players that are playing, I do believe kids do deserve some kind of compensation. What compensation they deserve, I'm not really sure about. But I do think, you know, even if it's something to set up for them as a trust fund for the future or something like that, that they just don't get the money at a young age, it's just blue. But, you know, something, you know, they should be compensated for that because, you know, I know with Johnny Manziel, the tech man in, he made this school a lot of money. And, you know, no matter what his background was as far as their income, still deserve the right to, you know, benefit some from all that publicity and things out towards the university.
I agree. You can use Johnny Manziel. I mean, look at Michael Vick. You can always go back. Michael Vick was a top jersey seller when he was in college. With Vince Young with Texas and that yes. Particular run. Colt McCoy. I mean, you can go back to any of those guys and those schools made millions of dollars off of. And just recent with Tua down in Alabama, I mean, big-time football is a big-time cash cow. So, you know, I'm happy for the kids that they get a piece of the pie. Even Tim Tebow, they made a lot of money off of that. So,
yeah,
I think it was, you know, it's a good thing for the kids as long as they don't go overboard. I think what ruins college football is when adults have all of the control. I mean, these kids put their lives on the line, you know, on a weekly basis at practice,
yes.
You know, on the field. I mean, this is the reason they got the concussion protocols now. I mean, kids get shoulder injuries. You know, kids in big-time college football, any level of college football, get hurt just like the pros do. So, you know, them being compensated is going in the right direction, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree with that totally.
Well, Coach, this is the part of the show where we'll give you an opportunity to give a shout-out to anybody or any cause or just a time period where you want to shed some light on something.
Pretty much, I would like to give a shout-out to the South Oak Cliff alumni for always, you know, having our back, always supporting us no matter what, and always, you know, allowing us to not have to worry about a lot of things that's going to really benefit us, you know, once we get back in a new school, because, you know, we've been out of our school for about 2 years, been having to bus to practice, you know, haven't had a flood for 2 years. You know, it's been a lot of things that we haven't been able to do due to the circumstances that we're in a temporary building. But, you know, what I say that he and the coaching staff and the whole administration, you know, we kept pushing forward. We don't use anything out of it. But when we get back in that new school next year, it's gonna, I think it's going to really benefit the overall program, and it's going to really appreciate all the hard work that alumni and the guys before them laid the foundation for them to have that privilege to go to those schools.
Well, Coach, I think it's a credit to you, you, your staff, and the community at South Oak Cliff for what you guys have been going through. I mean, it's been well documented here in the DFW area, but, you know, also now the rest of the state and the people that listen to this show will know that too. And it's a credit to you guys and sticking together as a family. And I think that shows unity. So kudos to you guys.
Yeah. And I sure appreciate you guys having us on. And I'm more than willing to come in one of these playoff games too.
Yes, sir. We are definitely going to do that. We will be there. The game is Thursday, so it's catching us a little on a short time. But, Coach, we'll definitely keep in touch, and I will let you know when we do get to you guys' game so that you know that we're there. And we appreciate you joining us.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me on, guys.
Yes, sir. Talk to you soon, Coach.
All right.
This is Mark Henry for Matt Davis and Dan Keck and L.O. Mayer. This is Top Texas Prospect Show. We're on the LSG Network, the Long Star Gridiron Network. And you can find us also on Twitter at TTP Show, and our website is TTPShow.com.
Thanks for listening to the Top Texas Prospects Show,
Season 1, Episode 32.
You can support us by subscribing to the show in your favorite podcasting platform. You can support the show by giving us a rating and review in Apple Podcasts, and by sharing Top Texas Prospects Show. Our hosts are Matt Davidson and Mark Henry, produced by Lorelei Majernik. Audio and technical direction by Dan Keck.
Did you play Texas high school football? If you did, you're part of an elite group, the Brotherhood of Texas High School Football. All football players, past and present, who have ever suited up in the Lone Star State are eligible. Go to LoneStarGridiron.com/brotherhood. And thank you for the part you played in the greatest sport in the greatest state.